So let's review. Zok the Mishnah, Hamoicha Yayin L'Chaver V'Hichmetz Einachai B'Achriyusai. If one sold wine to another and it subsequently soured, the seller is not responsible. However, if it was known that this seller's wine sours, the sale was made under mistaken assumptions and is void. The Gemara offers two interpretations of the Mishnah. Rabbi Yisrael Reb Chanina explains that if the buyer did not specify that he needs the wine for cooking and must therefore store it for a long time, the seller can argue that he should not have stored it for so long. Therefore, the seller never assumes responsibility even if it was known that he sells souring wine. However, the Mishnah is discussing the Amalei Lemikfa. He did specify that he needs the wine for cooking. Therefore, if the wine is still in the seller's utensil, the buyer can tell the seller, take back your utensil with your wine because certainly your wine and utensil were faulty. Therefore, the sale is void. However, the Mishnah is discussing the buyer transferred the wine to his own utensils. Therefore, in the first case, the seller is not responsible because, as the Rashbam explains, it is possible that his utensils caused the wine to sour. However, in the second case, if it was known that the seller's wine usually sours, the seller is responsible even because we do not assume the damage was caused by the buyer's utensil, since the seller's wine is known to sour. Chi Bar Yosef explains that Chamra Mazla de Marigar. Wine's spoilage is caused by its owner's mazla. Therefore, in the first case, the seller was never responsible even because we assume that the mazla of the wine's current owner, namely the buyer, caused it to sour. However, as the Rashbam explains, in the second case, if it was known that the seller's wine usually sours, the seller is responsible even because we do not assume the damage was caused by the buyer's mazel since the seller's wine is known to sour. The Gemara discusses other cases where the seller is responsible. Hayman de zaven lechavita de chamer lechanva, adaita lisavuye, v'takif apalgo oyatilsa. If someone sells a barrel of wine to a storekeeper for him to sell it gradually, and it soured when there was still a half or a third of the wine remaining, dinahud mekabel amine, the seller must accept the loss of the spoiled wine. However, shani bebarza loy, if the buyer changed the location of the spigot, the seller is not responsible because this might have caused the wine to spoil. Or if the market day had passed, the seller was not responsible because the buyer did not do his best to sell all the wine. Hayman de kabel chamra adaita de mamtile le parvasa de davol shafet va'adamati hasamzal. If someone agreed to sell another's wine for a share in the profits and the owner stipulated that he sell it at a specific location for a premium, and by the time he arrived there the price had dropped, dinhu de mekabele, the owner of the wine must accept the entire loss because he expressly forbade him to sell it elsewhere even for a high price. However, havachala, the wine turned to vinegar, it is a machlekes whether the owner must accept the entire loss, based on the earlier machlekes in the reasoning of the Mishnah. According to the second opinion, that of Rav Chiya Bar Yosef, that chamra mazla de marigarm, wine spoilage is caused by its owner's mazel, chalalai. The seller does not have to accept the entire loss, because matziyamale mazlach namigarm, the buyer's mazel also contributed to the loss. According to the first explanation, that of Rabbi Yisib Reb Chanina, that it depends on in whose utensil the wine was stored, the seller must accept the entire loss in this case as well, because your wine and utensil were clearly substandard. The Mishnah continues. If the seller said that he is selling superior wine, it must keep at least until Shavuos. After that point, the Rashbam explains, it is not unusual for the wine to spoil due to the heat, and the seller is not responsible. The Mishnah concludes, if he stipulated that he's selling him old wine, he must give him wine from last year. And if he stipulated that he's selling him aged wine, he must give him wine from the year before last. And the Brisa explains, it must last a full 3 years until Sukkot, the time of the next harvest. Zok the Mishnah, if one sells a lot to another person for the purpose of building upon it, or if one accepts a commission to build a structure for another person, but they did not specify the size of the lot or structure, it depends on what the intended structure is. If he wants to build an extension to his home for his newly married son or for his widowed daughter, as the Gemara explains, the couple usually lives next to the husband's parents, and so a father builds a home for his married son or for his widowed daughter who is returning to her parents' home. The minimum size dwelling for this purpose is 4 amas by 6 amas. Therefore, the lot must be large enough to hold such a structure, and this is the size that must be built. However, Bishmol maintains that this resembles a barn and is unfit for human dwelling. The Mishnah continues, the minimum size of a barn is 4 by 6 amas. The Gemara offers two interpretations of this statement. Rabbi Shmuel is stating his opinion that this is the minimum size of a barn and unfit for people. And as Rashbam explains, Rabbi Shmuel holds that a dwelling must be larger, but he does not specify its minimum size. Rabbi Kiva Katanila. Rabbi Kiva is arguing that although it indeed resembles a barn, people will sometimes build such a dwelling as an extension, and so this is the minimum size he's required to build. And Rashbam adds that Rabbi Kiva holds that a barn can be smaller, but it does not specify its minimum size. The Mishnah continues, Bai is cut in Sheish al Ches. A small dwelling must measure at least 6 by 8. Gadol, Ches al Eser, a large dwelling, 8 by 10. Traklin, Yud al Yud, a traklin which the Gemara defines as Kuvsa Bevardi, a pavilion with many windows and adorned with flowers, used by nobles for relaxation, must be at least 10 by 10. Abraisa adds, Kantir, Shtai Mesri al Yud Beis. The large courtyard of a mansion must measure at least 12 by 12. The Gemara offers two versions of the Mishnah's conclusion. Roimai Kechatzi Arke or Kechatzi Rachbai. The height of these structures is the average of their length and height. Therefore, for example, a small dwelling which is 6 by 8 requires a height of 7, and Raila Davar, B'Shimingam Lila, Imer Kebinyan HaHechel. B'Shimingam Lila brings support to this ruling from the Hechel where the structure was 20 by 40 and its height was 30 amas. The Tanakama ruled that the height of these structures is the average of their length and width, and as they said, Raila Davar, and were about to cite the Hechel as proof. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel interjected and asked, Kebinya Hechel? Will you bring a proof from the structure of the Hechel? Atu kula ama kebinya Hechel avdi? A normal dwelling is not comparable to the Hechel, and a lower height is sufficient. The Gemara cites a brice that brings another opinion. Its height must be equal to its roof beams, i.e. its width. The Gemara explains, the Braisa did not refer to the width directly, either because Besa mi'iloi ravach, walls of stone become progressively narrower towards the type and the structure is therefore wider at the top than at the bottom. Alternately, because Ika Bekavi, we're including the width of the beams that extend into the wall sockets.